listening to Law and Gospel on this Open Mic Friday, February the 23rd in the year of our Lord 2018. Last week we didn't have an Open Mic Friday because we were talking about evolution for 3 days. But today we have an open mic, so if you have a question of a theological nature, don't hesitate to give me a ring. I'm not promising that I'll be able to answer the question, but if there is an answer in the Bible, and I'm unaware of it at this time, I will bring it up on Monday after some research. Numbers are, in the St. Louis area, 821-0850. And anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. In the meantime, I want to digress just a little bit and talk some more about what we were talking with Wes Reimnitz yesterday about the millennials and their retention since confirmation. There were a number of factors that indicated how some congregations appear to be keeping confirmands after confirmation longer than others. One of them was being a large congregation, because therefore there are a lot of youth there. They get various items going on, various events, get to know each other a little bit, and so they're more familiar with the church. Another item was that those who joined the church after graduation seemed to stay longer. I thought that was pretty good. When we talk about graduation, we're talking about high school graduation. And then one of the factors, and I really agree with this, is when you have specific individuals who have some training in leading a youth group. I was very fortunate. Yesterday I spoke about Pastor Steve Reardon and his wife Sharon, who did a marvelous job in taking care of the youth at the congregation I pastored. This was before he became a pastor. They had children of that age, and so it really worked out well. I'm going to give another suggestion that I have utilized, and a lot of people are unaware of this. The post office has a procedure for mailing in your area at really reduced cost. In other words, I'm not sure you're aware of this, but let's say you have a zip code, then there are a number of zones within the zip code that a mailman goes to. And so each mailman has his own zone, so to speak. Well, for a cost, I think I paid 14 cents per piece of mail. The postman will take whatever you have and take it to every location in his area. Now, you can choose to also go to the businesses, or you can just go to the homes, apartments, rural area. You do have some choice. What happens is you make up, and they have a way in which you do this. You don't have to pay for special postage to put on there. Let's say the particular zone I worked in had 375 locations. I would then make up a card, 375 of them. You put no address on it. You put no name on it. And after you do it according to the specs that the post office gives you, you just print it. And you take it to the post office, and then how many got 375 times 14 cents or whatever it was, you pay that, and within 2 days, there is a promise that that item will be given to every house, every location that you have designated, because they're just carrying it along with them and they stop at every location and give that card. Now, why would a congregation make use of this? One of the factors I found really interesting about why a lot of millennials are no longer coming to church is because in essence, they never were coming to church. Their parents, whether baby boomers or whatever, had not been coming to church. Therefore, they were not taking their children to church, weren't having them baptized, etc. I think one of the important things that I saw in a main chart of the 4 million children born in the United States in 1953, 8,000 of them were baptized. Whereas in 2013, only 3,000 were baptized. Now, that could mean that we're not having as many children, and that is a fact. But I believe there are a lot of nuns out there, and I mean by that N-O-N-E-S, individuals who are really anxious to share the message of Jesus Christ with their children, but they're just not really ready to do so. By the way, phone me at 821-0850 or toll free 1-800-730-2727. Okay, it looks like we've got somebody up, but they're not coming up on my screen yet. The point I want to make is I would put on this card that we are a Christian church who would be very happy to baptize your children. And I think that's something that really ought to be looked at. Who knows how many situations you'll have where they will be baptized. Let's go to the phone lines and talk with... Hi, Phil. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Very good. How can I help you?
Well, a friend of mine sent me a video and wanted to know my opinion on it. And it was a fellow named Robert Clancy. It's a video that I guess is on YouTube. And he was making a lot of predictions for 2018 as a prophet, saying, "Thus saith the Lord." You know, I mean, he was saying this is exactly what God says is going to happen. And some of the things was, you know, that like all the football teams are going to crash and all the people that has been paying their tithes and haven't gotten anywhere, they're all going to get big corporations and all the other corporations are going to fail and they're going to just sign them over to them. And I mean, just all this stuff. And I was like, you know, I want to help them and I want to, you know, help them in a good way to let them know that prophets are, it has to be 100% from the Bible and 100% exactly what, you know, God says and, you know, and things. I just want a little things that I could, I'm asking you for just a little bit of help, you know, what I can say to them and talk to them to show them this person is not, you know, a real prophet of God.
Yes, it's very important to understand. And this is something I came across recently. It's in the Old Testament that sometimes when prophets speak, things really happen. And these are false prophets. Things really happen the way they say they're going to happen. If you were listening to the Bible study this morning, they were talking about individuals who are demonically possessed. They do get some supernatural abilities to break their chains. They're also able to do signs and wonders from a human point of view, which would be impossible. But the Lord is very clear that I have given you my word, and therefore, when you hear a false prophet speak from his imagination, even though things may happen, do not listen to him. You are following a false god. So that's the first point I would make. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped." So every time I hear someone saying, "Thus saith the Lord," I always ask the question, show me the Bible verse. Show me the Bible verse where it says that, what did you say, the football teams are going to crash?
Yeah, all of them are going to be. I mean, and there's Christian people on football teams, but all the football teams are going to be, you know, they're not going to exist anymore, and God's going to punish all the people that are sitting on the fence, you know, the lukewarm people, and you know, and so all the lukewarm churches are just going to fall and go to the wayside, and all the, you know, real, you know, Christians are going to be, you know, their churches are going to be better. I mean, it sounds like, you know, Jesus was going to set up his kingdom right now here on earth in 2018.
Yeah, that's another improper distinction they have between the two kingdoms. That is also very often temporal benefits that are going to be taking place. I look at these false preachers, and I'm surprised he gave something as specific as football teams. Usually it's, you know, you go to a Chinese restaurant and you get that fortune cookie, and it almost applies to everything. Like, you will be very wise because of a person you're going to meet. And of course, I have my wife sitting beside me. I said, well, that's true. Yeah, that's for sure. And they're so general that it's almost impossible not to show that they're wrong. But Issues Etc. recently had one of their guests on there going through some of these false prophets, and they disagreed with one another. That was the first thing they showed. But the other thing they showed was that false prophets from previous years and many of the things they said was going to happen did not happen. And you think we would learn that if it's not in the Word of God. I like fooling around a lot of times in a Bible study or talking to people. I'm joking around. And they say, can we ever take you seriously? And I say, only when I'm in the pulpit.
Yes.
Because that's where the Word of God's supposed to be preached. And a lot of times when I'm joking around, I'll make it clear I'm joking around over something. But the pulpit is God's place of speaking. And it's not that you don't get people confused. One of my techniques is to ask a question to get them confused at the beginning of the sermon in order to show how law and gospel takes care of that confusion. But I can only imagine if I said something along the lines that I had a word from the Lord and that none of your crops are going to grow this year because you are not giving enough of a tithe to church. I hope that church would remove me as pastor.
Yes, yes. If you want to see this, I mean, he goes on for a long, long time, almost an hour, of making very specific prophecies. And actually, it concerns me if someone's going to follow someone like that or even listen to someone like that other than God's word.
Unfortunately, the old Adam loves to hear things that are in your self-interest. So if he's going for a whole hour, he's bound to say something that individuals say, boy, that would be helpful to me. And that's how they tune into that. But you see, as Philippians makes it very clear, Jesus never did anything out of his own self-interest. It was always in the interest of us. And so that's a big deal. I don't understand a lot of the scripture, like the Trinity and things like that, but I still believe it because that's what the Word of God says. What I would maybe ask you to do is listen to that again and write down the specifics. And then a year from now, call me and indicate how many of them came true.
Okay.
It will be a short conversation.
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Phil, for calling. And anybody else can call. Our numbers here are 821-0850. That's in St. Louis. Or 1-800-730-2727. This caller really hits it on the head, what I think is the problem. Professors will tell you that many students coming to the university believe in relativism. What does that mean? Doesn't mean they have relatives. It means nothing is for sure. Everything is relative, depending on the person. Now, in some situations, we'd agree with that. You may have one group of students who likes chocolate ice cream and another likes strawberry ice cream. Well, that's just one's impression on what they feel best about. But when we get in the area of theology, what is happening is more and more people are looking at the force within them. In fact, we did this a little while ago where there's this new religion called, in a sense, the force. and you listen to what you are feeling. Joel Osteen follows this, by the way. His teaching is this, is that if you have a dream or a vision to accomplish something, then it will be accomplished if you have enough faith, because God is the one who puts that vision in your heart. Now, how many times do we have to show that such a teaching is totally anti-biblical? I know of a pastor who divorced his wife because he wanted to be a missionary and didn't want to take her overseas in case there was a danger to her life. So he divorced her. Where is that found in the Bible? You start listening to the voice within you. If it is not backed up by Scripture, and this is really an important point, and we were making that on Wednesday, acts of mercy nowhere in the Bible convert anybody. They often will go to wrong conclusions if they aren't already believers. Now, if they're already a believer, Jesus' signs and wonders can help persuade them that he is the fulfillment of the promised Messiah. They already were looking for the Messiah. Jesus' signs and wonders show that. The disciples of John the Baptizer went to Jesus, and how do we know you're the Messiah? He said, go back and tell John, the deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk, the mute speak, the dead are raised. These are quotations from the Old Testament talking about the work of the Messiah. So it's not that acts of mercy don't help people to understand that Jesus is the fulfillment if they already have faith in the coming of the Messiah. But if they don't have faith, their conclusions will always be wrong. After the feeding of the 5,000, remember, the people want to make Jesus a bread king. And yes, Peter did say, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus says, you know, to Peter, you know, you didn't come up with that. The Father himself told you that. Yesterday, I was listening to a station that has some great singing on it, choral singing. And my wife said, "What are you listening to?" And I said, "It's a Roman Catholic Mass." And I found it really interesting. It was a whole hour. The singing was wonderful. There was just no doubt about it. The readings were from the Bible. That was great. But what I was waiting for was, of course, the sermon. And when it came to the sermon, it just so happened to be a feast in honor of St. Peter. Not once did the priest mention Jesus' crucifixion or his resurrection. It was really all about Peter as the vicar of Christ. Now, I don't know how Roman Catholics can believe that Peter, that upon him is the rock on which the church stands. It's very clear from the original Greek that when Jesus says, "Upon this rock I will build my church," he's talking about the message that Peter had, that thou art the Christ, not Peter himself. Remember, Peter's the one, and how can you believe that he's the proper vicar of Christ when Jesus says to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan"? Peter, who denies Jesus three times at the crucifixion, and even after Pentecost, if I recall properly, Peter is the only disciple chastised by Paul because Peter refuses to eat with the Gentiles and the Jews together, because the Jews from Jerusalem, they're not very happy with eating with the Gentiles. And the more you look at it, Peter himself would be very upset to think that it was upon him that the church is built. In fact, he did say one thing that really surprised me. He said the purpose of the Pope is to share the message from God, not to create new messages. And I'm kind of yelling at the television, "Well, wait a minute, purgatory is a new message. That's not found in the Bible. Praying to Mary is a new message. That's not found in the Bible. Penance, that's not found in the Bible. So those kinds of things, boy, I don't understand how any of the apostles are the person upon whom the church is built. Numbers here, 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. I think we've got time to get one more person in, and it is Mike. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Hi. No, the Catholics believe that it's a succession of bishops. That's like a central part of the Catholic teaching. That
yes,
that, you know, Peter being I don't believe it. Even though I am still Catholic, I guess. But
if you're a Christian, like you're a Catholic.
Huh?
If you're a Christian, you're a Catholic.
Well, I mean, I don't really believe in a lot of stuff they believe. I consider it nonsense.
Yes.
But they say once a Catholic, always a Catholic. That's why I say I'm a Catholic, you know.
Well, I'm a Lutheran Catholic. The word Catholic just means universal Christian. There's Catholics of Rome, Roman Catholics, Catholics of Lutherans, Lutheran Catholics, Baptist Catholics. That's what I would mean there. But
yeah, but you're a Catholic with a small C, though.
I don't know if it's small or big.
Yes, it is. I mean,
in the Greek, it was big.
Saying, but
yes,
the Roman. I mean, it's an official organization. That's actually in their title, of course. You know.
Yeah. By the way, well, I got you on the air, Mike. I appreciate the letter you sent me.
Which one? What about the one on evolution?
Yes. Yes. That was a good one. And then there was one I just got last. About 3-4 days ago. Where you were making some points that I'm examining, too.
Oh,
so appreciate that very much, Mike, and keep up the good work.
Okay, see you later.
All right, God bless. That's Mike, a frequent caller here, and we sure appreciate it. We don't have any more time for any more questions at this, but Mike is making a point. I'm just saying that when we confess the creeds, there's the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed. All of them are confessed by the Roman Catholic Church, as they are by the Lutheran Catholic Church. And in the Athanasian Creed, we talk about that we believe in the Catholic Church. Now, sometimes in the hymnal, they'll have a little asterisk and put down Christian. But the word Catholic just means the Church of the world. The only religion that God recognizes. So a lot of times I correct people all the time. They say, well, I know some friends and they are Catholic. And I say, oh, they're Lutheran, are they? No. Roman Catholic is what one needs to be saying. And there is an interesting tract that I have that shows the new teachings of the Roman Catholic Church that are not found in the Bible. And they go year by year showing those various items. And so we don't agree with those unless it's found in the Bible. We're kind of getting back to Phil's point that don't listen to a prophet, even if he's so-called the vicar of Christ, if he can't back up what he's saying. And then I just feel really bad that an official position of the Roman Catholic Church right now is their belief that evolution did happen. And that's how God created the world. I just can't believe a Christian denomination would ever say something like that. But they do. They permit that. And I can give you various reasons why I think they say that, but none of them are scientific. I'm Tom Baker. You've been listening to Law and Gospel. We pray that you'll have a wonderful opportunity to hear a Law and Gospel sermon. And normally, if you go to a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod congregation, you should. And if you have children who have not been baptized, please phone a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod congregation who will be very happy to have those children baptized. Until Monday, when we continue our Lenten series on sermons, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.